You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Our guest today has had to deal with cancer in his family. His wife was diagnosed with cancer in August of last year and given 3 months to live. And also last year, his father-in-law was diagnosed with brain cancer and given 6 months to live. Joining us from England to tell their stories is Stephen Cox. Stephen, great of you to do this. We very much appreciate it.
No problem at all. Nice to speak to you.
Now, let's start with your wife being diagnosed with breast cancer first in 2012 while she was pregnant. Tell us about that.
Yeah, she was being pregnant was a big issue when we found out that she was that she had cancer. You know, we basically found out as there was a physical lump there, so obviously it was a worrying time, especially also added pressures of her being pregnant as well. Sort of got her checked over as soon as we could, and unfortunately we found out that it was breast cancer. As you can imagine, it was a difficult time finding out that, you know, you hear the word cancer anyway, but then also the treatments that they had lined up ready for her was, we'd also got a little one to think consider as well. So, it was a pretty stressful time, to say the least.
Did she undergo any treatment, chemotherapy treatment?
Yes, she did. She had a mastectomy while she was pregnant to take away the affected breast, and then she had 6 cycles of chemotherapy while she was pregnant. So, we had to jump on and get it sorted as quick as we could. The doctors didn't elaborate too much on, you know, the risks to as regards the pregnancy. It was sort of pretty much down to us, really, if we wanted to continue with the pregnancy or, terminate and continue. But we decided to go through with the pregnancy and the chemotherapy. And luckily, our little boy arrived and he was perfectly fit and well. So that was a big relief, to say the least.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's fine. That's good. Now,
yes.
After the mastectomy and then the chemotherapy, and your wife, was she declared cancer-free at the time?
Yes, she said there was no signs of anything in her lymph nodes or anything like that, and it was all sort of pretty good diagnosis, really, you know, as regards there'd be little chance of any sort of reoccurrence of it happening in the future. So, you know, we would sort of put it behind us and try and get on with life.
So, Stephen, that was in 2012, and
yes.
Last year, tell us what happened then.
Well, my wife, she actually works in the medical profession. She's works in the operating theatres. You know, a couple of weeks previous to her finally realising what's going on, she was complaining of uncomfortableness in her stomach and whatnot, and she'd been to our GP, and they'd put it down to excess stomach acid. So they were giving her some sort of anti antacid sort of things to try and get it under control, but unfortunately that didn't work, and she was still working at the time, as I say, working in operating theatres, and unfortunately she collapsed at work. Luckily she was obviously on the hospital premises, so they took her round to A&E and gave her an ultrasound on her abdomen and was referred for an urgent scan. And then, unfortunately, the CT scan showed that she had liver metastases. So it had basically come secondary cancer from her liver cancer from her original breast cancer. It was in 2012.
That must have been a hell of a shock for your family.
Definitely, yeah. We'd actually moved to the other end of the country for a fresh start after what happened in 2012, and things were looking great, and then we got this to come to our door, if you like. It was pretty tough, to say the least, and then obviously we had the diagnosis from how bad it was, It was obviously, as I mentioned to you, that it was inoperable, and only palliative chemotherapy was offered, and they sort of get, I guess that she had maybe sort of 3 months or so to live. So,
wow,
a big shock compared to, you know, we got this fresh start with our children and everything sort of ahead of us, and big turnaround. You know, it was tough going to say the least. So,
yeah, how many kids do you have, Stephen?
We have four in total. Yeah, we have four in total, ranging from 21. 17 in a couple of days, 12-year-old girl, and little Sam, the 4-year-old boy. Yeah.
Now, after your wife was given 3 months to live, a terrible prognosis, what happened next?
Well, I was sort of, as you know, with my father-in-law, we'd already been down the oil route before, so my first thing to do was, obviously, you take on board what the oncologist plan was. That, as I say, it was just palliative chemotherapy, and we knew what was ahead of us as regards that, because she'd had it before with a previous cancer. And because we'd seen the oil and the diet work so well for her father, it was basically my decision and her decision as well, just to get sort of get the oil into her system as soon as we can. So that was pretty much it. She was doing her chemotherapy, but also doing oil alongside it as well, which had its benefits with the side effects of the chemotherapy as well. So it was a no-brainer for us. You know, her father, and we may talk about it in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was had a stage 4 glioblastoma brain tumor, which comes with pretty much a death sentence itself. But to see him now, it's amazing. He's completely, I just can't put it into words. Nothing that our NHS or specialists or oncologists over here that offer us, it couldn't even prolong his life, let alone, you know, do what we hope we've done. We've seemed to have cleared it completely. It was, like I say, as regarding Lisa, it was a no-brainer. You know, we were going to go down the same road and kick this the way that we think we could, or had in the previously.
And how did she respond to taking the oil and doing the other things? You talked about coffee enemas as well.
That was something that she wasn't too keen on doing to start with, because it was obviously something that she'd never had to do before, and it's not a particularly enjoyable practice, let's say.
No.
But we found taking the oil, you do really have to sort of cleanse your system afterwards. You know, you at least once. We were sort of doing it twice a week, just to flush out all the toxins and all the dead cells that the chemotherapy introduced into your system. After the first one, she felt, you know, she felt refreshed and energized compared to what she did before she actually did any of those any of the enemas at all. So, unfortunately, my wife was struggled a little with the THC oil as regards the high. She'd never had anything to do with cannabis in any shape or form in our younger years, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it orally to start with was a bit of a shock to her system, because obviously the oil we're using is a very high concentrate, and it's got everything that you need sort of in it for its cancer fighting properties. So there was a lot of anxiety and all the sort of negative sides of cannabis use. So as regards to THC, that was taken in suppository form, but then also the CBD side of the oil ratio she was on was taken orally, because obviously you don't get the high effect from that. And so that's how she sort of progressed on, and she's done really well. She's still taking it at the moment now. She's done her 90 days, but because it hasn't completely gone yet, she's going to continue for a little longer now, and we'll see how we go with further scans and blood count tests and stuff to see how, if we're still heading in the right direction.
Stephen, what were her tumor markers like when she finished chemotherapy and then after she had done cannabis oil?
To start with, her CA markers were 153 at 6 weeks into her chemotherapy. And then when she started, after the 6 weeks, she was still doing the chemotherapy. She started, she finished the chemotherapy, that's right, and then she started the oil, and they were at 108. And now they're actually down to 24. So the last 6 weeks, the last 6 weeks on doing just the oil alone, they've dropped dramatically to, as I say, to 24. So I'm pretty sure that the oil is doing exactly what we were hoping to.
So you know, they've sorry, Stephen, I was just going to ask, has she stopped her chemotherapy completely?
Yes, she has at the moment. Yeah, the oncologist was asking her to come back every couple of months just to see how she was getting on. She asked for a break from chemotherapy because she was having it every week, and she wanted to because her father and mother and father live in Greece, so she wanted to nip over to see them. So she asked for a break from the chemo. Went and had a holiday, came back, and the blood results, while she was away, the blood results came back, and the doctor asked us, the oncologist asked her to go back for a little bit of a meeting. So we were, you know, sort of dreading what was coming as regards the results of her bloods and the most recent scan. And he seemed quite sort of bemused and puzzled to how she was doing so well, considering she hadn't had chemo for the last 6 weeks.
Do they know what she's doing?
No, the trouble is, as you're probably aware, in the UK, it's illegal to use the THC side of the oil. And unfortunately, what they tend to do, the medical profession in this country, is because they've got no sort of data or any anything on how the cannabis works, there's no tests or any evaluations on it, that they just straight away deny that it has any help or any benefits to you at all, and then they try and tell you that running it alongside chemo and radiation therapy and stuff like that would cloud their results, so they would be unsure of whether it's what they're doing. You know, if something detrimental happened to their health, the patient's health, they would say that, you know, they would be unsure whether it was their treatment or what we were doing. So I know full well that it's more than safe to run alongside both chemotherapy and radiotherapy because of what happened, what we did with her father and many other people I've spoken to. So we just decided not to inform them of what we were doing. Yeah. No, it wasn't necessarily too much to do with the legal side of it, because obviously they obviously can't, there's a confidential issue, they can't speak to anybody about what we were doing. So it was more just to do with, we just like them to get on with what they're doing, and we could get on with what we're doing, because obviously if they could have said there is a time and a place for chemotherapy, I think, you know, and I didn't want them to take that away from Lisa while, you know, we're trying to, you know, get this sorted as quick as we can. You know, it helps shrink things, so then the cannabis oil can then, has got a smaller surface area or a smaller area itself to do its magic on. So it's, I think it's, you know, the only sort of therapy we've got available in this country is you know, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, so you have to take it.
Yeah.
But then you can do oil alongside, and the diet and the enemas and everything else, that and it comes as a package, really, and you've given yourself the best fighting chance, I believe. That's my...
Stephen, how does your wife feel today?
My wife feels brilliant. Yes. Awesome. Oh, yeah, she's as I say, from the last sort of scan results and blood markers, you know, sort of... The way that the oncologist reacted, you know, he's extremely pleased with the progress. You know, she shouldn't be anywhere near as doing as well as she is at the moment. It's all positive. So she's come away and, you know, she's feeling great. You know, she had some devastating news that she may not be here in 3 months' time, and yet she's feeling, you know, on top of the world.
Psychologically, is she feeling much better than she was when she got that devastating news that she had 3 months to live? And she knows she's on the road to recovery.
Oh, yes, massively. Completely different. To see her how she was and to how she is now, it's just polar opposites. She's got a new lease of life. She just wants to go out and do things. You know, she was very sort of, as you can probably imagine, finding out that she only may have a short term to live. We've got young children that she was worried, you know, that she may not be around to see them grow up, and all the things that, you know, you look forward to as a parent. And it was quite a thing for her to, you know, she was keep sort of talking about that sort of thing when she was very upset in the start. But we haven't had that conversation for months now. You know, it's all positive, all looking forward. She wants to go to places, and it's just, you know, it's how we should have been when we first moved down to this area before the cancer appeared. You know, we were all excited about this new start in life. It's, you know, it's took a while getting here, but yeah, she's completely different, completely different.
That's good to hear. And if she starts to complain about having to take the coffee enemas, remind her that we interviewed a woman in Vancouver, British Columbia, who had a double mastectomy. She did five coffee enemas a day for 1 year.
Didn't miss one.
Didn't miss one.
That's commitment.
That's commitment. Bringing it to a whole new level. Stephen, tell us a little about your father-in-law. How did he first stumble upon cannabis?
That was my doing. My father-in-law is now 71 in a couple of weeks, actually. He was diagnosed when he was 69. And it was pretty much the same thing, you know. He had scans and stuff, and he was basically told that you've got this large tumour in your brain. We can remove up to 90%, we think. But then, unfortunately, due to the nature of the type of cancer you've got, it's going to be growing back pretty rapidly. I had already heard things as regarding cannabis oil and how effective it can be on cancer, so I just did a little bit more research, and the more I read and the more I looked into it, it was a viable action to sort of follow. So it was quite tough, to be honest, to sort of explain to an elder, let's say, about how it could help him, because he was sort of the ilk that, oh no, it's drugs, I've never done drugs, and it was quite tough going to sort of, you know, explain to him that that's not what it's all about. This is a medicine. It's not to get high or you're not going to go and progress onto heroin and things like that, you know, because that's what sometimes the older generation think. And once I sat down and showed him a few things to read through, and he gradually sort of put aside the idea of it being a street drug and more of a sort of natural remedy and sort of medicine. And once he'd heard that other people had managed to sort of help cure cancers, and especially the type that he had as well, he said, right, that's it. He said, that's something I've got to do. He said, I'm fit and well. I'm not ready to go yet. So, and that's what we did. We sort of found a source, and he did just 3 months, and his is gone.
And they had given him 6 months to live.
Yes, yeah. Between six and nine, if he was very lucky, because it was quite a very aggressive cancer, and where it was, they said, you know, we need you to come back in sort of 4 months' time post surgery. Because there will be regrowth, and we need to see whereabouts it's regrowing, because it may start affecting your sight, your hearing, your motor skills and things like that. When he went for his 4 month scan afterwards, they actually asked him to have another scan because they thought there was something wrong with the machine.
I love it.
And then they came in, and they came to us and said, well, you know, and they looked pretty puzzled and said, it's gone. You know, what have you been doing? And he said, oh, I've just been, you know, living a bit healthy. Obviously, again, he didn't say what he was doing. And they're sort of blown away, because the type he had, it either should be, as I say, coming back rather sharpish, or should have already finished him off. And here we are nearly 12 months down the line, and he's doing great. He really is. He's probably healthier than he was to start with, to be honest, a lot more relaxed. And, you know, he had arthritis as well in his hands, which now is usually in the winter time he sort of suffers with it. That's also dissipated this time, this winter just gone, and he's been far happier. So,
yeah, that's an interesting story. You also mentioned that your father-in-law took 15 drops of frankincense oil per day.
That's right.
Tell us the reason behind that.
from what I'd read, it was only something sort of, we were sort of trying to throw anything at, because obviously I was I'm still a novice, but at the start, Lisa's father was, Dave was sort of the guinea pig, if you like. I'd heard that the Horiuji frankincense oil helps you absorb a lot more of the cannabinoids into your system, so, and it also helps relax and mood and just generally helps you feel a lot better. But what we did find with using the frankincense oil was he never had chemotherapy, he had radiotherapy. Well, along with radiotherapy, you get, I'm sure you're aware, you can get some really terrible headaches. And I know people who've had radiotherapy before and experienced these awful headaches. Whilst he was taking the frankincense oil, he never had a single headache. He flew through his, he had 4 weeks of radiotherapy, quite intense radiotherapy. And he never moaned about it, anything at all once. He used to go in, have his 10-minute session and come out and get on with the rest of his day. It never affected him at all. It took away the fatigue as well from the radiotherapy. He never felt tired. He was just completely different to people who I'd seen before, and that was, I'm adamant that that was down to the frankincense oil.
Do you know what percent of THC was in the oil that he took?
I'm not 100% sure on the one that he took, but I know it was of high quality. It was from a very trusted source.
Was it hard to
find?
So
I know it was in this country, yes.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult. Very difficult. There's only a couple of ways you can do it, really, in this country.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of scammers in the UK.
A massive amount. And I feel so sorry for the people that have, put their hard earned and just been ripped off. Basically, it's disgusting. That's unfortunately the way of the world. But I was lucky enough to get in touch with a person who's trusted, and I was put in touch with him through somebody else, so met the person, and real genuine guy. He's helped us twice now with my father and my father-in-law and also my wife, I just wish it would become more available and
more legal.
I don't think for a minute in this country it's going to be for a long time yet, but let's hope.
Now, you had your father-in-law on a 4-to-1 ratio THC to CBD, correct?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
And as I say, he did the 90 grams of oil, 60 grams of oil over the 90 days, alongside a no sugar organic diet and the frankincense oil, and within 4 months, completely clear, all gone.
Wow. How did he react to the oil?
He was being an elderly gentleman. He wasn't too quite stubborn. He wasn't too happy about the doing anything suppository wise. So he did all of his orally. So to be honest, for the first sort of month or so, he was getting his tolerance levels up. He struggled, to be honest. He struggled with keeping awake, basically. He had some quite fun times because he stopped with us while we were doing the regime. And he was, he was very happy and, with his grandchildren and laughing and singing and dancing. And then obviously, as you're getting into the stronger sort of doses of it, he was spending the majority of the time asleep, which, is no bad thing, because a lot of sleep is sleeping after surgery, and everything he was going through was part of the healing process. I'd say that was the only negative side effect of it, was basically just the you're taking a massive amount of strong THC. You're gonna feel a little woozy, let's say.
Yeah, you certainly are. Yeah. Does he take a maintenance dose, Stephen?
He does now. Yes. Yeah. He takes what's he take now? He takes 2 rice grains a week of combined THC and CBD.
A week?
Just yes, a week. Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe just a suggestion, but I think that if that were me, I would be upping that to maybe try doing that every night, or at least or half of that amount every night.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, certainly in my experience, it's really important to keep that cannabinoid level up in your system. If he's only doing it once a week, he's having a real fluctuation in the cannabinoid levels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe make a suggestion to him about that, because I'd really hate to see this come back. And I know we have talked to people before that once they stop that maintenance dose, boom.
Oh, right. Oh, great. Yeah. I'm glad you told me that then. Yeah. See, I was told that would be a sort of useful sort of dose to be doing, but obviously not. No, I'm pleased you told me that. Thank you.
Stephen, when you mentioned your father-in-law, you said he took 15 drops of frankincense every day. Yes. Did your wife take the same thing?
She did for a while, but then unfortunately, because it's an oral sort of... you take it mixed in water. Mm-hmm. Some of the side effects of the chemo that she was having, the paclitaxel drug that she had, gave her quite severe mouth ulcers. So she found that whilst taking the frankincense oil, it was irritating her mouth too much to continue. So unfortunately, she had to stop doing it, which was a shame, really, because, you know, as I say, it does have its benefits, but there's no other way, unfortunately, of taking that. You can burn the resin oil as sort of like a candle, if you like. But as regards taking any more into a system orally, we had to sort of abstain from that because it was quite strong and very irritant to her mouth, you see.
Do your older children know what their mother and grandfather were taking?
Yes, they do, yeah.
How do they feel about it?
Well, my eldest daughter, she's coming up 21, and she's actually studying to be a criminal barrister. So when we first mentioned about oil, and she's obviously aware that it's illegal, she was quite sort of against the idea. But once I'd explained to her, similar to what I did to her grandfather, on how it actually works, she sort of came around to the idea. So, obviously my little boy's only four, he doesn't understand, but my 12-year-old girl and my 16-year-old girl know exactly what we're doing, and I don't personally think there's a problem in telling them what we're doing. It may be illegal in this country in the form that it is, but once they realise that or understand how it helps and what it can do, I just think that I'm only educating them.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's an educational process to encourage others to educate themselves about the medicinal use of cannabis, because as we've mentioned on this program many times, the recreation side of cannabis gets a lot of publicity and negative publicity as well.
Yeah.
And even though it, you know, the recreational side does have benefits, because it has been shown in states in the United States which have legal recreation and medical marijuana that the alcohol consumption is decreased.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was talking to a criminal lawyer the other day, and he knows what I do, what Corey and I do on this podcast. And he was saying, I've never had to defend a client who did something, a criminal act, while on marijuana. I said, I've had lots on alcohol, but nobody on marijuana.
No. And a side note, in 2015, I had quite a nasty traffic accident. I was physically okay. I walked away from it pretty much unscathed. But for sort of 3 months afterwards, I ended up with sort of post-traumatic stress. It was quite an experience. You know, I was very lucky to walk away from the accident. And I had to have some therapy, and I was put on some medication from my doctors, and it was awful. I'll be honest, when I was in my youth, I used to smoke a little cannabis now and again. Nothing like the strengths that are around these days. It was, you know, it was homegrown sort of stuff. Or, to be honest, it was that's what got me out of my post-traumatic stress this time.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's great.
I stopped taking the mind-bending drugs that the doctor insisted I was taking, and just had one very small special cigarette a day, and there I was. I was on the medication for 3 months, and I knocked it on the head, and I smoked a little bit of cannabis, and within 2 weeks my mood had lifted. I was leaving the house, I was driving again because I was too frightened to before, and never looked back.
Oh, that's great to hear. Stephen, yeah, it was a pleasure to talk to you, and it's good news that your wife and your father-in-law are on the road to recovery, and it's wonderful that you are educating people about the use of cannabis for medicinal purposes. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you both. Thank you.
Very much appreciated, Stephen.
No problem at all. Thank you.
That's it. Another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. If you'd like to be interviewed on Cannabis Health Radio, send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Thanks for listening, everyone.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.